In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. And as is our custom, we always start off our Perseverance Family by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's unite ourselves praying to Mary, begging Mary to pray with us and to pray for us. As we pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that is the Hail Mary. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's lift our gaze, our minds, and our hearts to our spiritual director. Dear, what a privilege it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many different titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master. Beautiful title, the Interior Master. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, he says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect, as well as to pray that the fire of His divine love would ignite our hearts for love of Him. Together, come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, after praying together, the family that prays together stays together. I'll be placing on you on the altar in the Mass. And by far the greatest of all prayers is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Christ offers Himself to God the Father for the salvation of the whole world, and that includes us. So I'd like to place on the altar you and your intentions. And the first, as we get closer and closer to Holy Week, which will be starting in about 9 days, that we would be open to the Holy Spirit. And perhaps we'll say this prayer during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for you and your families, your children. Especially like to pray for family members that are perhaps far away from God, that they would return. It's never too late. Never too late. My third intention, I'd like to pray for those who will be dying today. Will be passing from this life to the next to be judged by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I'd like to pray in a special way for those who are dying and are not ready for this all-important moment in their life. Those are my prayers, my intentions in the Mass. given that today is Friday in Lent, and 2 weeks from today will be Good Friday, I'd like to talk to you about the suffering of Christ, our suffering, the suffering of others. And how we should approach this reality of suffering. Perhaps I mentioned earlier in an earlier talk that when I went to the university, first year I did a course on comparative religions, and I thought the course was very interesting. It was a brief overview of world religions. We studied Hinduism and Buddhism, Islamism, Shintoism, Zoroastrianism. Then Judaism, then Christianity, Protestantism, the Russian Orthodox. And finally, Catholicism. One of the hallmarks of Catholicism that differentiates us from other religions is that Catholicism gives a proper understanding, interpretation of suffering. We see in the Gospel, Jesus is suffering today because they're verbally attacking him. The Jews are verbally attacking our Lord. Suffering can come in many shapes, forms, and sizes. But only Catholicism can give a really positive interpretation of suffering. Suffering can make us either better or bitter. And whether we like it or not, suffering is part of the human condition. But it can make us better or bitter. That course presents a positive interpretation of suffering if we learn how to suffer. Two years later, it was 1976, it was the summer, August of 1976, I had the unique privilege of being invited to participate in the Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia. And the theme was, you satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. And that song was the theme song for the Eucharistic Congress in 1976 in Philadelphia. In between talks and conferences, there are tables outside the center in which there are various apostolates there was the Legion of Mary, the Focolarini, the Neocatechumens, the Charismatics. A whole plethora of tables with apostolates, we call them ministries today. But there was one that caught my eye that I'd like to recount related to our topic. And it was, there was a man in a wheelchair sitting in the corner behind a table, and he had a banner above which indicated the apostolate that he was promoting. Then he had some brochures on the table. So it was a young man that was sitting in a wheelchair. And the title was The Apostolate of Suffering. The Apostolate of Suffering. I was very captivated by this. So I drew close. He greeted me. And I asked him if he could explain to me, what does this mean, the Apostolate of Suffering? And the man said that he had been in a car accident, and as a result, he was confined to a wheelchair and never be able to walk again. And he had two options: to give in to despair, to throw in the towel. But then there was another option. And the option was to recognize that God had allowed, this accident to happen. We might call it a providential accident. God had allowed this to happen so that God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. And his mind was enlightened to understand that he was called to embrace the cross of suffering and to unite his cross to the cross of Christ. So as we get close to Good Friday, on this Friday, we want to stop and reflect upon the whole meaning of suffering. Suffering in and of itself is neutral. It can make us better or bitter. Better or bitter. But his interpretation was that God had allowed him to suffer this accident so that he could unite his suffering to the suffering of Christ for the souls in purgatory. For the church, for the conversion of sinners, for the salvation of souls. That encounter I had with this man was indeed captivating. I had read some of St. John of the Cross. I had read Sister Josefa Menendez. I'd read on the victim soul. I had known the message of Fatima. But now in this person of this young man, confined to a wheelchair, unable to walk, but joyfully accepting his cross, it really captivated me. And I understood by this encounter that we all have to carry a cross. And the cross can make us better or bitter. Now, if we unite our crosses, our sufferings, to that of Christ, who suffered and died on the cross for us, then our cross has infinite value. Has infinite value. But if we don't unite it to the cross of Christ, then we can become not better but bitter. And we throw away, we waste the crosses and the sufferings that God has given to us. When we have limitations, we should do the best we possibly can in our circumstance. Saint Therese of Lisieux said we should get up each day and use the tools, the circumstances, the opportunities that God gives to us every day. Never give in to despair. Related to this topic of suffering, I'd like to tell you another story and how an individual can take her suffering and cross and transform it into an infinite source of blessing. Probably around 50 years ago, there was a teenage girl who was about 18. Her name was Joni, who had graduated from high school and was preparing to go to college. And it was a summer break. So she and her sister decided to go out, I think it was Chesapeake Bay, there in the Maryland area, and they decided to go swimming. So they were swimming, and the sister of Joni couldn't find Joni. Now, what had happened was this. That Joni was on a cement dock and she dived in and she was not aware that the surface was very shallow. So her head hit the concrete surface. And it snapped her neck. So she was floating underneath the ground. Her sister looked up and she was stung by a wasp, and she lifted up her eyes and saw her sister floating underneath the water. So her sister brought her to the surface. The ambulance was called, and they rushed her to the hospital. And to make it long story short, she had broken her neck and she was paralyzed from her neck down. That's right. She was paralyzed from her neck down. Don't forget, she's only about 18 years old. Here you have this woman, this young woman who is going to go to college, have a brilliant career, this and that. Now she was paralyzed from her neck down. How easy it would be for her to fall into despair. But through prayer and consultation and reflection and discernment, Joni came to the conclusion that she could not do many things, but she could do some things, and some things she could do pretty well. First was that she could pray. She could pray. Irrespective of our body's condition, we can always pray with our mind and our hearts. Never forget that. We can always pray with our minds and our hearts. And she came to the conclusion that she was not the only person in the world like that. Quite the contrary, there are other people that suffered accidents as such. So she started to go around the country giving talks. Giving talks to the handicapped, to those who had accidents, to those who had limitations, to those who were suffering. Such that they would not give in to despair, but look deep into their own lives and see what were the talents that they could still utilize. So first she prayed . Next she was able to put together talks on recognizing our limitations, but recognizing the talents that God has given to us. And then she was aware of the fact that she could sing. So in her tour, she could sing songs of praise. And as time went on, she felt that she was called to be an artist, to paint. Don't forget now that she's paralyzed from the neck down. So how could she possibly paint? So what happened was she decided to paint, and this is the way she did it. She put the paintbrush in her mouth like this. So utilizing her teeth and the paintbrush, she was able to paint pictures with her mouth. Being a woman, she fell in love with a man. She got married. So her formal full name in marriage would be Joni Tada Erickson. So what I'm saying, my friends, is that suffering has infinite value. Suffering has infinite value if we know how to unite our suffering to the suffering of Christ. So these are a couple of anecdotes I thought I would share with you. I'd like to move now from the suffering of the paralyzed man, the suffering of Joni Tada Erickson, to helping out those who are suffering and they may be called from God to from time to eternity. And what I would suggest that all of you think about, what can we do? What can we do to help those who are suffering and maybe at the last stage of their lives? So I'd like to focus upon what we can do to help those who are very sick, to the point of possibly even dying. And it's this. If Catholic, we want to help the suffering, the sick, and even the dying to be able to receive from the Church, receive from the Church the last sacraments. Now the Church, for those who are dying, encourages what is called the continual rite of the sacraments. We can beg this for ourselves, even though we're healthy now, but one day we're all going to die. We can pray that we're able to receive the last sacraments. And that would be the three sacraments in order would be, first would be confession, the second would be the anointing of the sick, and the third would be Holy Communion. And sometimes, as some of you are pointing out, the reaction of people can be very negative. If this is due to a widespread ignorance, I was a newly ordained priest and I was sent to Argentina. And there was an organization that was set up, Servicio Sacerdotal de Emergencia, priestly emergency service, where every night a priest would be stationed in a locale or a home or residence in Buenos Aires. And any call from a hospital or residence would take the priest there so that he could give the last sacraments to the dying. I never forget that I was called to go what was called to the Hospital Alemán, the German hospital in Buenos Aires. And it was a hospital for those who had problems with their hearts. And I was dressed with my religious habit. And I remember I entered in, and the relatives of the person that was sick, they almost had a heart attack by seeing me come in with my black habit. And I told them that I was called here to visit their mother, and I was available to give her the last sacraments. They were stupefied. They're in shock. They said that I could go there into the room to visit their mother or grandmother under one condition, that I'd have to take off my religious habit so that I would not scare them. I would not scare their mother. And I said, under no condition would I do that. So, what happened? They would not allow me to go and to visit their relative. I see that as tragic. See that as really tragic. As tragic. That person was not able to receive the last sacraments because their relatives thought that if I went in there to give the sacraments, that their relative would die. How tragic. And I tell the people, I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. Thought you'd probably like that. I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. I'd like to show you the cylinder of the anointing of the sick. 1 minute. I have my kit. Here's the anointing of the sick booklet. Then I have right here this is called a PIX, where I bring Holy Communion. And then I guess I left the cylinder in my car. But what's done is there's usually a kit, and here's the booklet that's used. In this, we're able to give it's called the triple sacraments. The triple rite of the sacraments. So the first to be received would be the confession. The second would be the anointing of the sick. And the third would be Holy Communion, which is called Viaticum. So that would be the triple rite. The anointing of the sick, first confession, then the anointing of the sick, and then viaticum. Now, I'd like to tell you something that's of extraordinary value for all of us. And it's the apostolic pardon. Now, some of you might be questioning, well, Father, when you go to the hospital, and perhaps the person is already in a coma. Does that mean it's too late to receive the anointing of the sick? Not in the least. Not in the least. Quite the contrary. The person is in a coma. The priest can administer the anointing of the sick by imposing his hands on the head, anointing the forehead with the holy oil, and then anointing the hands. And then, one of the graces that comes from this is that if the person that's in coma were to have desired to receive, to go to confession and to receive absolution, then that sacrament serves as like a backup for confession. That's right. So, say Guadalupe is in coma and she wanted to go to confession but the priest couldn't make it and her heart was repentant. Then that anointing of the sick serves to forgive her sins. Even if she has imperfect contrition, how good God is. So for that reason, some of you, like Cecilia Ann and others, have had bad experiences. I told you my experience in Buenos Aires, that those relatives did not want me to go into the room to see their grandmother dressed in my religious black habit. They thought that if I entered in my black habit, that their relative would die. And as I said, I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. But I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. I don't work at the cemetery, I work at the church. Then, as some of you are already mentioning, right after the anointing of the sick is administered, there is what is called the apostolic pardon. And I have that right here in my little booklet. The apostolic pardon, it's a short prayer, but very efficacious. And this would be the formula. Through the holy mysteries of our redemption, may Almighty God release you from all punishments in this life and in the life to come. May open to you the gates of paradise and welcome you to everlasting joy. Wow. Listen to these very consoling words. This is called the apostolic pardon. Through the holy mysteries of our redemption, may Almighty God release you from all punishments in this life and in the life to come. May open to you the gates of paradise and welcome you to everlasting joy. That is very, very consoling. Now, if you're not aware of the importance of that prayer would be given, that prayer would be given after going to confession, if the person can go to confession. And the apostolic pardon, my friends, is part of the infinite treasures of our Catholic faith. And it's true, our Catholic faith is so rich. The Catholic Church offers us so many extraordinary riches and blessings. So that would mean after the person receives the apostolic pardon, if that person were to die, then this is basically it's a ticket to heaven. That's basically a ticket to heaven. It's not only the sins forgiven, but even the temporal punishment of sins, for sins, is remitted. That's right. We should try all we possibly can to help those who are dying, who will be passing from this life to the next. We should prepare the way so that they can encounter Christ as their Savior and Redeemer and not as their judge. That's a good prayer. Lord, be not my judge, but be my Savior and Redeemer. Beautiful prayer. Lord, be not my judge, but be my Savior and be my Redeemer. Now, following up in the right, if the person is conscious, we were talking about the order of the right. So there's confession, the apostolic pardon, the reception of the anointing of the sick. Then we have, here's my pyx. This is a pyx, it's called the pyx, and it's where the hosts are placed. Obviously they don't have one here, but the hosts will be placed in the pyx. And if the person is conscious, then the person, after confession, the anointing of the sick, would receive Holy Communion. If it were the last, it's called Viaticum. P-Y-X is the way it's spelled, pyx, P-Y-X. In communion, the last communion is called Viaticum, and it means food for the journey. And Jesus offers us a very, very beautiful blessing, words of encouragement, which are taken from St. John, chapter 6. He says this, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's right. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So my friends, my basic message today is this. We all have to suffer in one way or another. Suffering can make us better or bitter. And we should do all we possibly can to help those who are dying, to die in the peace of Christ, to receive confession, the anointing of the sick, and communion. So my friends, May God bless all of you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.